As we have been seeing in this weekly class, Bhagavad Gita shows us the way to realize the goal of life, to reach the ultimate fulfillment. And while showing the way, Bhagavad Gita tells us that this is possible for each of us. For each of us is potentially divine. And therefore, nothing in the world is more possible for us than realizing it. What can be more possible than realizing my real nature, experiencing who am I really? That, Bhagavad Gita tells, is possible for each of us, but one has to take up the journey with sincerity and steadfastness. Then it told us that why we become unsuccessful in this, because we do not utilize our energies, rather fritter them away. The loss of energy in life becomes the cause of disaster. We generate lot of power in our life through the source is there, the source of power, and that is God, that is in us. But what happens is, all that power is dissipated. We know that our efficiency of cars is very important, otherwise you end up spending lot of gas. Unfortunately, our cars of our mind and body, not only we have not tuned them to the highest level of efficiency, our gas tanks have been left with big holes. And so, unless we plug those holes, it is very difficult for us to undertake this long journey. Our living must become a journey to the destination. And for that we have to learn to conserve the energy. It is, if we look at our lives, Lord pointed it out to us, that a lot of our problems come because of carelessness. We become complacent, think that what is there, let some fuel is leaking, but I am in a hurry, I won't stop to plug the hole. And what happens, we all know gradually, we are stranded without any fuel left with us. And that is, he told, therefore the first thing that we have to pay serious attention is to control these holes, the sense organs, motor organs. These are the holes, and what happens is our mind goes out through them. All the energy goes out through that. When we want to do something intensely, something that requires all our focus, then we cannot allow such thing to happen. Otherwise, other things attract our resource, and we are left ultimately with nothing, no means to travel. So this is what Bhagavad Gita told in the second chapter that we saw, the verses 62 to 63. And then we saw that therefore the attachment and aversion is to be shunned in life. Whether we like something or we don't like something, that should not be the criterion for moving. The movement should be guided not by likings, but by what is right and what is not right. Just as when we are going to some place, then on the way there may be various things which we may like or which we may not like. We don't pay attention to that much. I have to reach the place, so it doesn't matter. It is the road may be bumpy somewhere, or the road may be very nice. I don't stick on the road even if it is a very nice road. I do not say that, well, let me just be right here on the road. The road is for moving. So all these various things will be seen around us. But a purposeful person who wants to achieve the goal of life should not get attached to them, move along. So this is the way to achieve the higher and higher levels of efficiency. That do not let your activities be guided by these affections or hatreds. Yes, there are such things in life. Sometimes we like certain things, we get attracted to something, or sometimes we terribly detest certain things, develop hatred for them. But every time, let us remind ourselves, this is not the purpose of my journey. Now let me move ahead. And gradually we will see that it will become a habit with us, that we will not pay attention to those things and move ahead without getting bogged down. So he says that in that state you will have prasad in life. We saw that this word is very difficult to translate in English. A sense of serenity will come, shanti. A very deep level of peace will come in life. This is a positive peace, friends, not it is absence of sound, but something that is all our energies are concentrated. When an engine is running with high efficiency, it is all its energies are put into the right purpose, then very little sound comes because the friction is reduced to minimum. So it doesn't make any sound, it runs peacefully. So our life also will run peacefully without friction. So that is called prasad. Our common life, we see how many frictions are there. Somebody says something to me, and then I will keep on thinking about it for 6 months. Why did that man said that to me? That is friction, you know, the mental friction. It keeps on wasting our energy. Lot of sound keeps on coming. External sound outside is not that disturbing, friends. The sound inside is terribly disturbing. It is one of my friends, one Swami, told it like that somebody was complaining to him that there is lot of noise here, how do you meditate? And instead of telling that about him, he told about himself. You know, there is so much of noise that goes on inside, compared to that external noise is nothing. And that is really the fact, if you see, that the noise inside is really disturbing. That is why even if somebody goes to the highest peak in Himalayas to meditate, After a while, the internal noise will make that fellow so disturbed, will not be able to meditate there either. Therefore, this reducing the internal noise, that is this what is called prasad. The life shows that serenity and the peace. It is not that kind of negative peace that you sometimes people feel in a graveyard. It is this sense of absence, not that of the peaceful presence. So it is not that kind of peace, but a focus has been achieved in life, and that has brought this sense of peace. So no friction and high efficiency. The vehicle, the journey is proceeding very smoothly. Do we not feel that kind of peace when we are on the right track and the vehicle is running very nicely, the weather is nice, no problem. So you feel a kind of peace. So this is an enhanced, much superior version of that peace that you can see in this person's life. Nothing disturbs that person, whether many things are available or things are not available. I saw one Swami. He used to stay on the river bank, and sometimes it used to be very hot there. In summers, that place becomes very, very hot. And all others staying around him would keep on complaining. What hot, how terribly hot it is, don't you feel? And one gentleman asked him there, don't you feel that heat? He says, I also feel the heat. But does it become less if I keep on complaining about it? We have to do what we have to do, whether it is hot or cold. Afterwards, if we get into this habit of complaining, sometimes we complain because it is so hot. At other times, we complain because it is so cold. And if it is neither of them, we feel bored that there is nothing to complain about. So, it is... But this person is serene, no complaint. It was just to look at that person was an experience. You know? You hardly see a person with that kind of serenity. Just poised, calm, very purposeful, very disciplined, very methodical. That is how this person becomes, because the unnecessary frittering away of energy is completely stopped there. So the higher we achieve this level of efficiency, we will notice in our own life that we are moving in the right direction. A peace comes. So, what happens with this peace? That is the verse 65th. When this serenity attained, there results the destruction of all his misery. Verily, the wisdom of the serene-minded one gets steady soon. Let us not forget that the question was asked by Arjuna about the life of a person established or steadfast in wisdom, sthita prajna. So this sthita prajna, how does he behave in everyday life? That was the question. And the hinted idea behind this question was, how am I to become like that? And tell me some pointers, some directions by which I will be able to follow those manifestation in that person's life, so that I will also become like him. Like you see, a great basketball player, then you want to become like that, then you look at that person, how he stands, how he picks up the ball, how he runs about, how he shoots, and all those things, you see about that person. So similarly, when you want to live a life established in wisdom rather than established in foolishness, we want to see how this person conducts himself. That is the idea given here, that when this serenity comes in life, sarva dukkhanam hani upajayate, then all these relative sufferings in his life cease completely. Because the cause for those sufferings is gone. Our sufferings are because of so many expectations from the outer world. Somebody will bring money to me, somebody will give some favor to me, in elections somebody will vote for me, and all that stuff creates lot of expectation in one's life. And when they are fulfilled, we become joyous. That is also a titillation. That is also an excitement, a disturbance. Not that that kind of joy is a serenity. It is not serenity, it is excitement. Like I many times give that example. When at that Fenway Park, when Red Sox wins, still those people do vandalism with those cars. Why the cars were all smashed? Because they won. Why they were destroyed earlier? They were destroyed because they lost. It is the not being able to handle the emotions. It is joy or sorrow, they are of the same type there. The external impact is similar there. That excitement, and in the excitement you do the same thing. A friend of mine told, when I told his, he said, yes, you are so correct, I had never thought about it. That when I become very happy, still I drink to put that happiness into something. I cannot handle emotions. And when I am very sorry for something, very miserable state, depressed, still I do the same thing. So both of these are the situations where a person is not serene. But what happens here, the so-called these dualities or the opposites in life, they do not at all disturb this person, because he knows that if you are seeking the pleasure, you have to pay the price in terms of pain. It is not, you won't get pleasure in life, friends. It is, that person knows it. When you are seeking something like a relative in life, then its opposite also comes along with that. You cannot have just one of these. People spend whole life trying to find out that let me have pleasure without pain. It does not come. It is illogical, unscientific to expect something like that. These things are pairs. They stand or fall together. It is, there cannot be day without night. It is not possible. You know, day means that, well, it ends and you get night. Night follows by the day, day follows by the night. It is only on sun, if there is no day and night on sun. You see, it is relative to sun, here we have day and night. So, therefore, this person's life is free from such dualities, such opposite, pairs of opposites do not torment this person, and therefore that serenity and ashu, it's a very beautiful word. Then quickly, when one gets this kind of serenity, then very quickly the wisdom becomes stable or steadfast in life. This is something that one can experience easily. Very quickly this happens. The moment we decide to not to get baffled by these dualities, decide to discriminate and with a calm mind, then that itself will bring a serenity, and that serenity will make us see the wisdom. A very beautiful example is given that suppose you have dropped something in a lake or a small, say, tank, and because the waters in the tank is lot of disturbed and turbid, you are not able to see where it is. But when the waves are calmed down and the turbidity, the dirt is removed, then you can see now where that thing has fallen. You can see it because the water is now clear, clean. So you can see, and thus now you, it is not difficult now to take it out. Once you see it, hey, it is right here, now let me take it out. It is easy. If you do not see it, we waste lot of energy in just moving our hands here and there. So this is the idea, that when this wavy mind becomes calmed down, then we can see the bottom of this mind, the truth there shines forth. And thus it is easy for us now to realize the truth which is at this bottom of the mind, as they say. So the wisdom becomes steady in this person's life very quickly. We have seen that how Bhagavad Gita gives the instructions which are practically very useful, showing the way. It is not just the academic style description of the signs of a person established in wisdom. That is not the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. It is to show to Arjuna and through Arjuna to all of us that how the mind of each of us can be established in wisdom. Therefore, this message is for each of us, that yes, Triveni listens to this and says, yes, I understood that if I get this serenity by not being attached to these pleasures and pains, then my wisdom will become steadfast in life. And this is a matter of practice, that every moment we have the opportunity to practice it. Because life brings these things to us every moment. Whenever it comes, look at it. Look at it without trying to grab any of that. Don't go to grab pleasure. Tell yourself, well, the pain is lurking right behind the other side of it. So, let it go. And as it goes away, that will bring joy in your life. The moment you let it go, you will see that that brings joy in your life. If you hold it, then you get pain, not the pleasure. Pleasure was only an appearance there. When you grab it, then what you get is actually, that is the word pain. The pain is nothing other than that. It is not that somebody has to do something nasty to you to bring pain. Our expectation for pleasure that itself turns into pain. It sounds strange, friends, but if we analyze, we will be able to see it. It is very funny how people find pleasures and pains in various things. It is not that there is something that will give pleasure to everybody if they get it. Some people get lot of pleasure if they, say, for example, get some honey. There are people like me that who don't like honey. So if I am given that, I don't feel that it is a very nice thing. Some other people like to go to some shows, some circus shows. Now I have seen plenty of them since childhood, so I am not terribly elated with the this thing to go for such things. Some people like to go to those roller coasters. I had gone once. And then after that I find that here itself I get much more roller coaster rides. So it is, I don't need to go somewhere else for that. Without paying, I am given that experience right here. So I go and pay and try to have it. So that brings, we will see that if our attitude turns like that, lot of serenity comes in life. And with that serenity, buddhi paryavatishtate, wisdom will become steadfast in life. And if it doesn't happen, next verse, 66th verse of the second chapter, same. If not, then no peace and no happiness in life. Nasti buddhira yuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavana na cha bhavayata shanti ashantasya kutas sukham. For the uncontrolled person there is no knowledge, nor is there meditation for him. And for the unmeditative person, there is no peace. And for one bereft of peace, how can there be happiness? See, this is the chain he has shown there. If we don't have a control, if we don't have control over our own personality, do you feel happy if you are driving a car and it goes out of control? It is not a very happy situation. Nobody feels happy then. Our body is kind of a vehicle. If it is not under our control, then there is no question of peace and happiness there. It is therefore important to be a controlled person. So, that is called yoga. Yukta is the common, most important word here that is used in the beginning. That ayukta means the one who is not a yogi. Who is a yogi? The one who is practicing this control and discipline, that person is yogi. So, that if you are not a yogi, then there is no possibility of this higher knowledge dawning in us. We may read many books, hear many cassettes and CDs, and listen to many lectures, but the key to having knowledge is practice, the practice of control. The practice of control brings the knowledge in us. There are so many stories in Upanishads that to illustrate this. Sometimes I had told that great story about the Indra and Virochana that comes in Chandogya Upanishad. Both, the demon and the angel, the king of demons and the king of angels, they go to their father. Their father is common. The same progeny of the same father, demons and angels, both have the same origin. Both have decided that they should get the knowledge of the self. Because they heard that once you get the knowledge of the self, then all your wants are fulfilled. And we all want that all our desires should be fulfilled, all that we seek should be obtained. Who doesn't want that kind of fulfillment? Shankari, you want, is it not? Yes. So, we all want that fulfillment in our life to come. So, whether the person is Indian or American or African, doesn't matter. Everybody wants this fulfillment and fulfillment of all desires. So, they heard that if you know yourself, then everything you will get. So, they approached their father that, please teach us this knowledge of the self. But the father was not even ready to listen to their question. Wait, don't talk, wait. First, live with me here for 32 years. Practicing all these disciplines of this monastic life here. 32 years first you stay, then ask question. Till then even the question is not permitted. Because no use of asking question, it is meaningless to give answer. The answer has to come from within. The answer that is poured into ears is not very helpful. The answer has to flash within. And how it flashes? The mind becomes calm. The answer is right there, no? It comes out. We all can see that. It is, the answer is right there. And both of them stayed for 32 years. Now, their minds had become relatively pure after 32 years of practicing disciplines. So, Prajapati told them that what you are seeking, you were seeking the knowledge of the self. Know that thou art that. I am not telling you the exact thing, just a simplified version. And they thought that that means these bodies are we. I am this body. So they thought we understood. So you mean that the self is this body? Prajapati said, I didn't say that. And then he took them to a pond and told them, look into the pond, your reflections. How do you look? What do you see in the pond? And they said, well, what are you asking? Are we so dumb? We see ourselves as we are. Exactly like what we are, we see ourselves in the pond. Okay, he said, now remove this shabby dress of yours. Put on these very nice, all the jewelry and the princely dress, all this you put on now. They put it on. Now look at yourself. What do you see? Now we see ourselves very beautifully dressed and decorated. So now do you understand? But they failed to understand. Prajapati wanted to show them that they are not the bodies. The body also was reflected, just like the dress. So, just as the dress is not you, similarly the body is also not you. But the mind was not pure enough, so they didn't understand. And they started going back to their followers. While going, the angel started thinking, wait a minute. The body is subject to birth and death. It falls sick. It cannot be the source of that wisdom. It cannot be the source of fulfillment. It is not, I don't think I have understood correctly, or my father doesn't seem to have told me the whole truth. Let me go and ask him again. He goes to his father. I have a question. You have a question, wait for 32 years more. Oh, 32 years per question. So it is. I don't think Dorothy will be able to tell her students like that in her college. It is 32 years per question. So it is, said, okay. So he stayed for 32 years. Then again something was told to him. Again the fellow understood a little, but misunderstood something. So while going, he again thought, no, I think it is not the correct answer. Again came back and said, I have a question. 32 years more. So like that, this Indra was made to perform austerities, live a controlled life for 96 years. Then, after that, he was told then, after that 5 years more were required. And then Indra got illumination. So what made the illumination possible? The answers are given there, but those answers are not really answers unless we are receptive to that. The answer flashes from within. The more and more we become calmed down, the answer starts coming up. We see the answer, and therefore it is told here that if we do not have undergo that process of purification, then there is not much possibility of having happiness in life. Friends, this is not to make us depressed, but to make us look at the truth. And this is not that kind of just palliative or some kind of a consoling psychology, you know. That okay, the psychologist people go to them and then everything is fine with you, it is okay, nothing is bad, and some consolation is given. This is not that. Sri Krishna was psychologist par excellence, make us see the truth. It is not only the temporary putting on some temporary relief. But he is more concerned about the radical cure. The disease must be rooted out, not just suppressed, but has to be rooted out. So he tells us, well, open the eyes and look at the truth. Don't deceive yourself that everything is just fine, whatever I do is fine. It is not at all fine. Learn that this is the way to proceed. We have to learn to take tough decisions in life. They may appear unpleasant, but they are the source for the peace and blessedness as we progress on that. And what happens, he says, if we do not lead this kind of life, we may not feel it in the beginning, but all our energies are lost and we become incapable of progressing. Indriyanam hicharatam yanmano nuvidhiyate tadasya harati prajna
Vayurnavamivambhasi.
Oh, when I read this verse first, maybe about 35 years back, and when I tallied with our experience, my experience, it tallies so well. That is how it happens. I said, yes, 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 that is how it happens. And what does it say? Whichever of the wandering senses the mind follows, that one carries away his wisdom as the wind carries a ship on the sea. The wind, if you have a sailboat, it just gets carried by the winds. So, if we do not try to control the sense organs through the influence of mind, rather let the mind wander after it, then what our intellect also is pulled after it. Our intellect then loses all capacity to control it. It is, they are very powerful. The sense organs are very powerful. So, if we let it pass like that without control, they pull us. Then we lose the capacity to handle them. It is like that, that the wheels of our vehicle, that comes a very handy analogy in explaining life, because we all are familiar with it. The analogy should be about something that is familiar. If it is something that is not familiar, it doesn't serve the purpose. So, in a vehicle, think of the situation that you are suddenly, while driving, you are on black ice. The cars starts moving in a funny way. The wheels are moving in a funny way. And that drags your steering also. Steering also is dragged behind it. And your hands, which are controlling it, they also then start moving in a funny way. You lose capacity to control that. It is very difficult. So, our mind that follows this kind of senses, when you get on such tracks, and do not try to control it, it is very difficult then. The mind is dragged after it. And our intellect then becomes slave to it. It cannot do anything. Intellect is meant to tell us what is right and what is not right. But when it is dragged behind these senses and mind, then it becomes slave to it. And instead of deciding what is right and what is not right, it just says yes to whatever the senses are doing. It works for the justification of it. It is like the slave hired by somebody who does exactly what the master tells. So our intellect becomes slave to our pulse of the senses. And instead of trying to correct that, our intellect becomes busy in justifying it. That yes, 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 it is, that is what life is, you don't know, it is, that is the life. Okay, it is, so the intellect has become completely subservient, slave to those pulls. So the mind, then this person is not capable of having peace or the higher judgments. And therefore he exhorts us in the next verse that tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrihitani sarvashah indriyani indriyarthebhya
tasya prajna pratishthita. In Bhagavad Gita, the names of Arjuna used have a lot of significance. The epithets and adjectives used, here he says, calls him Mahabaho. You are very powerful. And that is addressed to each of us. Don't feel that, well, I am powerless, I am weak. No, Mahabaho. And we have immense power. We have to just call forth that. We have to have that confidence that each of us can do it. That control the senses. Whose are the senses? Yours, is it not? And if they are yours, who is going to control them? You are going to control them. They are yours. My hand, I will control my hand. So it is similarly with our sense organs, that is the thing, we can establish control over them. Let us not come under this influence, this wrong idea that I am powerless, they are too powerful. It is we who give power to them. Sometimes it happens that somebody is your servant. But then gradually you become so dependent on the servant that you feel that, well, if the servant is not there, you are lost. Now who is servant, tell me? If one starts feeling like that, that I am lost without that servant, then that it is not servant, then the fellow is master really. So you have to then think, wait, let me see, who is the master? That fellow derives his existence from me. They are my sense organs, my motor organs. It is they are dependent on me, not I on them. Tell them, and then we will be able to control them, friends. It is Mahabaho. Yes, I have the power. Let us bring forth that power. And that control will come. We shall continue to see the meaning of this, the next verses. Very beautiful. This verse is very important, but we don't have time, so I am not going into the details. Any questions? So let us... 32 years? Okay. Now that person will require 32 years to understand the answer. Here we will be just discussing the question. The answer, coming of the answer will require. And the people here, they are already very elevated. So they may not require 32 years. They may require maybe 32 minutes or 32 seconds. Like our Lord is so intelligent, you know, she won't require 32 years or anything. She will understand it in a jiffy. Those people in the olden days, they required 32 years. And how much you can compress year into a second, you know. It is, the time is after all compression and expansion. Time and space, really, it is all really one. Yesterday I was watching a nice program on TV. It's accidentally I put that channel on. It was a very nice show of the sidewalk astronomers of John Dobson. He is a very good student of Vedanta, and he said about that, he showed many galaxies, origin of the universe, this, that, very nice talk. And at the, he said that about something about Vedanta and all that, then said that this idea is, we have to correct, that the universe is out there. Everything that you experience, everything that you see, is right here. There is absolutely no distance, because that is how space and time, they are same.
It is, he was explaining Einstein's that special theory of relativity about space and time. Said they are really same, and so really there is no distance, no space and time, they are really the same thing. It is because we conceive them differently, so we think that the thing is there somewhere and it takes so much time to get there. But if we see that this space and time, they are same, then it is all right here. Just as, he says, just as in dream, everything that you see, a big universe, stars and galaxies, you see in dream also. Mike, don't you see in dreams?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, huh? So in the dream you see all that. And where did you, was it? It was right here, you know. So now also, all that we see is right here. The 32 years are also in just here, in a second, or less than a second, this moment itself. So don't feel scared, you know, that story is told to make us focus. If we start, it is right here. If we don't start, then 32,000 years also will not help, you see. So, let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmad Vinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantraha Tasya namani yani karma pekam tasya devasya seva.